Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you, Rabbi X. Awesome to be here again. In a few short weeks, a couple weeks actually, it's going to be Tanit. So I figured, why not explore the topic a little bit, talk about Tanit in a deeper way than you actually might not have thought about. We're going to go in and talk about the miracle, the oil a little bit, and hopefully open it up in a way that you might not have thought of. But before we do that, I like to have a discussion a little bit. I think that's important. Otherwise, just listening to some like boring speaker, who wants that? So, hands raised. Who celebrates Tanit? There you go. Hands raised if you're willing to be brave enough to tell me what comes to mind when you hear the word Tanit. Yes. Nice. Yes. Yeah. Come on, brother. Any ladies? Yes.
Noah.
What else? All in the back.
Light.
Oh, that's going to be our topic tonight. Yeah.
Oil.
Good. Awesome. All right. More. Yeah.
Family.
Nice. Very good. All right, so now one more question for discussion is, how do you celebrate Tanit? What do you do individually to celebrate Tanit?
Lighting the candles. The menorah.
Nice. The menorah, yeah. Does anybody go home for Tanit? Get some bread, no? You guys get presents? Yeah. You think it's a little bit deeper than that? Is there a little bit more going on that we might be missing? So let's just get the story down in brief. Just very, very basic. Most of us already know, but for those of us who forgot it, let's just do a Cliff Notes version of Tanit. Right? It's almost like every other holiday out there. You have this big, big group of people who don't like us, who are going to try to do something to oppress us. So the Greeks, the Assyrian army, they were called the Yevonim, they came, and what did they do? They didn't necessarily want to exterminate us, like many other nations did. They just wanted to make sure that we were like them. They just wanted to make sure that we couldn't pray the way that we wanted to. That we couldn't learn Torah the way that we wanted to. That we couldn't do Judaism with our Jewish values the way that we wanted to, that we always did. And it was so bad that we had to hide secretly to do basically anything. We prayed three times a day. In order to do that, we had to go in secret and, you know, hopefully not have them hurt us or stop us. And when we were almost found out or caught, what did we ultimately do? We quickly had that dreidel start spinning, and they thought, oh, these guys are just gambling. That's the Makor, that's the Yesod of a dreidel. What ultimately happened? We got fed up. We got annoyed. We said, we're not taking this anymore. We're not taking this anymore. And so you had Judah Maccabee and a ragtag bunch of yeshiva guys, basically. People were learning. People think, like, this is like Hebrew Hammer over here. You know, if you ever saw that? With this, like, crazy big scene of army men coming in to fight. That's not who it was. You had a few people who had the drive and determination and the excitement to go and stand up for what they believed in. Let me repeat that again because it's very important. There were a few people who stood up for something that they truly believed in, namely their Judaism, their Jewish values. And they said, we're not taking this anymore. Quiet riot style. We're not going to take it at all. And what did they do? They fought. They picked up whatever they had, which wasn't much. A war where they were successful. They were completely successful in decimating an army that was way more powerful than them, way more sophisticated than them. And that, in and of itself, is one of the miracles of Tanit. That we won that war in a way that we never could have possibly have thought. But not only that, but when it came time to go and see and assess all the damage that was happening, we had to go and we saw our temple. The Beit HaMikdash was totally decimated and so many horrible things were in there, which we shouldn't even talk about now. Aside from all the destruction and the ruin and everything else that happened. But beyond that, there was the menorah still. And the Maccabees and everyone there involved in the war and the battle said, we have to fix this up. We have to rededicate things so that way we can practice our faith the way that we're supposed to. So what did they do? They cleared out all the junk. They got rid of everything. All of the Avodah Zarah, the idol worship, everything that was done improperly. And they said, we're going to get the menorah back together. We're going to rekindle the lights. They had only One jug of oil. One little cruise. And that was it. And what's the main miracle? We all know this. This is the basics, right? This is the basics. This is the 101 before we get to the 2, 3, 4, 5 01. One jug of oil. That's all that they had. And yet it lasted for how many days and nights? 8 days and nights. One jug of oil, 8 days and nights. Now I have a question for you. Let's go to 200 level. If God wanted to make a miracle, if God wanted to choose to make a miracle, would you really choose just to have a little bit of oil last for a few more days? You could have done anything. You're God. Why is that the miracle? Why is it that it had to be light? Why is it that it had to be done through this medium and this message? And so to understand that, we need to appreciate what light and what a candle is. And I don't mean the candles like, you know, the ones that are tall, made of something. I mean the oil, like they had in their menorah. You have three components of a candle. And to understand what a good candle is will help us better appreciate why the miracle had to be exactly as it was. And hopefully, how we're involved in this and how it's relevant to our life. Because that's what this is all about. So first, what's a good candle? What's involved? One, you have to have a good fuel source. If you have dinky oil, your flame isn't going to light. Your wick won't take. It's not going to be what you want, nor what you need. You have to have a good fuel source. Number two, you have to have a good wick. If your wick is lame, if your wick isn't solid, then what's going to ultimately happen is you're going to sputter. That's going to sputter and go out. That won't work. Number three, you need to have the thing that we always call the candle, the flame. Because you can have a good fuel source, and you can have a good wick, but if your flame is small, it's not really going to illuminate anything. It's not going to really do much. So now, that is a paradigm for a Jew. We say, I just want to be a good person, I just want to be moral. What is it to be a good Jewish person? One, you need to have a good fuel source. You need to be steeped in trying to understand and appreciate your Jewish heritage and your Jewish tradition. Props to everybody who came out. You're trying to have a good fuel source. What's a wick? Like we said, if the wick isn't so great, it'll sputter. It'll have impurities in it. If we're not constantly and actively trying to work on our character to be a better people, then what's going to really happen is we're going to sputter. And we're going to go out. And we won't be able to illuminate. And that's the last thing. Jews by nature are illuminators. I'm going to say that again because it's very important. Jews by nature are illuminators. But if our flame is only for our family or ourselves, then ultimately we're not really doing our mission and our purpose as being a light unto the nations, a light unto our people. You have to have a good flame. And so with that paradigm in place, I think we can understand the miracle a little bit better. And so in a certain sense, God saved our ancestors. So that they could still be that light. So that they could still shine for other people. He saved them so that they can draw strength from their Jewish tradition and their values and confidently give off light to other people. Because this world is about other people. So it's funny, I'll tell you a story. I have three kids. I have a 6-year-old, I have a 4-year-old, and I have an almost 2-year-old. And the 2-year-old, he'll go to bed just fine, usually. The 4-year-old and the 6-year-old, they want me to tuck them in, and it's beautiful. And as I'm going to tuck them in at night, right before I leave, it's like clockwork. I say, this world is about, and they finish the sentence, other people. Because I want them to know that. And at 6 and at 4, they know it. So at 24 and at 64, we can know that. It's very important to realize that the miracle of Hanukkah was not simply that we were saved, great, amazing, the war and the light. The whole point of why it was there was for us to be that light. For us to be a miracle for somebody else. Why was there only one jug of oil that lasted for 8 nights? Because if you've ever run a race or if you've ever done a sport and you were just done or you hiked or you climbed, you did anything like that, and you got to that breaking point that you all get to, where you just don't think you could go any further, you have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 more nights in it. And when you hit that moment, you realize that you could do it. There's a song from a band called Eighth Day, if you've ever heard of them. If not, you should Google it on YouTube. It's amazing. It's a popular song, and it's called Miracle of Light. And I think it sums up this idea beautifully. And so, you have to forgive my singing. But the lyrics go something like this. And you need to know that nace means miracle. Nace means miracle. It goes, I'll be your nace, nace. I'll be your bright light. I'll be your miracle. I'll be your miracle of light. And he says, and we'll blow smoke in the face of darkness, set fires that burn up the night, tell and retell all your stories, be a miracle of light. Be a miracle of light. Because the hidden piece of Hanukkah, the whole point of why it had to be light, is because every single person in this room has a light that they can give off to the world. Every single person in this room can be somebody else's miracle. That might sound corny to some of you. I see you. But it's true. It's true. And when you have a wife or a husband, you'll see it. You could be somebody else's miracle. And when you have kids, you better be their miracle. And when you expand your horizons more and more, you have the capacity to see that even when you don't think that you have more light in your menorah, that you do and that you can. There was a ragtag bunch of people, the Maccabees, that fought hard. And they didn't really have much, but they had heart, tenacity, and they were Jewish. And they had that flame to burn brightly. And what was the miracle that we got back? What was the miracle that we got back? One little bit of oil lasting for 8 days and nights. The miracle of the war and the miracle of the lights is everything. Because when you dig deep into who you are, when you understand your strengths, your talents, your abilities, you can see I could be a miracle of somebody else. And the people who laugh and think that this is corny either aren't givers or don't believe in themselves enough. They either aren't givers or they don't believe in themselves enough. Every single person in this room has talents, strengths, abilities that are unmatched. There's nobody else like you in the whole entire room. Maybe you have similar strengths or talents, but they don't have, other people, the package of strengths and unique abilities that you do. And you can do something unique and powerful for the world. That's the miracle of Hanukkah, in a nutshell. And without realizing it, you can just go through Hanukkah with donuts, which is great, and presents, which is great, and all the other parts of it, family, presents. But if you don't realize why you're looking at the lights in the first place, why it had to be light to begin with, why it had to be something that was bright and illuminating, and if you don't even see that those candles are staring right back at you as you're staring at them, beckoning, asking you, are you going to step up? Are you going to be a miracle for somebody else? It doesn't have to be Jewishly. It could be howeverly. Are you going to stand up and do something for somebody else? That's what the Hanukkah lights are asking you on night 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, all the way. What are you going to do for the world? So there's a Hasidic story that I want to share with everybody. It's a famous story about a pious Jew who went to his rabbi. And he asked, he said, Rabbi, I want to find Eliyahu HaNavi. I want to find Eliyahu HaNavi. Who's Eliyahu HaNavi? Elijah the prophet. Who is that? The one who's going to be the hero. He's going to save the day and usher in a more happier, better time for the Jews. In a nutshell. So he says, Rabbi, I want to find Eliyahu HaNavi. I want to find this guy who's going to usher in all these great times. Because I need a better life right now. The world needs a brighter, better life right now. So the rabbi said, oh, that's easy. I want you to go over here. Go to this far-flung area, and I want you to knock on this door, and I want you to ask them if you could spend Shabbos there. This person looks at his rabbi like, what are you talking about? I've never been to this place before. I have no idea who this host is. And, like, you know, what are you doing? Where are you sending me? This is not some sort of Shabbaton, Rabbi Goldberg. Where are you sending me? And so the person says, you know what? He's my rabbi. I believe it. All right, I'm going to go. He gets the GPS coordinates, obviously back in the day, maps. Figured it out. He gets to this shtet. He gets to this place where, honestly, it was a hovel. It was disheveled, run down, nothing. And he's like, is this the right house number? Is this right? Knocks on the door, because it was, and he's in the right place. And a woman comes to the door, disheveled, tattered, and says, Hi, can I help you? And he says, hi, can I stay for Shabbos? Can I stay for Shabbos? She looks like pale white. I wish I could take bread, but I have several kids of my own. I'm a widow. I don't have anything. And now the rabbi is now the guy is like, what am I supposed to do? My rabbi said, this place right here. Why would he send me here if he's going to have someone to get kicked right out? So he basically, you know, gently said, listen, I'll stay and I'll help you out. Like, what do you need? You need the chola, you need the cook. He's like, no, like, you don't understand. I barely have anything for my kids. I don't have a bed for you. I don't have anything. And he says, don't worry about it. I'll hook you up. And so he figures out where to get all the supplies needed in this town that he's never been to in a million years. Ever. So he finds all the supplies and he goes, and he brings it in, and they're having an amazing Shabbos. He's like looking at the door, waiting for this amazing Savior, Eliyahu HaNavi, Elijah the Prophet, the hero of the day, to come. The kids are happy. The wife is a little like, the woman is like, what's going on here? He's looking at the door constantly. Shabbos ends. No one came to the door. He goes home, he's saying, what? He asks his rabbi, what's flying? What's going on? I don't understand. I don't get it. I didn't see Eliyahu HaNavi. I didn't see him. So the rabbi says, all right, listen. I had a feeling this might happen. I want you to go back again next Shabbos. You have to go back again next Shabbos. And I guarantee you, you'll find him. At this point, he's super skeptical, doesn't know what to do. He says, you got to be kidding me. The same place, the same family? It's not going to happen. But you know what? I believe and I trust in my rabbi. So what does he do? This time he's prepared. He knows. He gets all the supplies ahead of time, all the best stuff. He spends all the money. He spares no expense, and he goes. And he's there. And he's like ready to rock. And he's tired, because it's a lot to gather everything you need for an entire family for Shabbos. And schlep there back then when there was no planes, no cars, no anything. And so he gets up there. And he hears something. He hears the sound of children saying, do you think he's going to come again? Do you think he's going to come again? Do you think he's going to come again? He thinks nothing, knocks on the door. The widow opens the door. And all the kids say, I told you Eliyahu HaNavi was coming. I told you he was going to be there. I told you, Mommy. He was there, Eliyahu HaNavi. His rabbi said, you're going to find Eliyahu HaNavi when you're here. And he did. He was their miracle of light. That's just one example. Whether that's an apocryphal tale or whether it's real, that could be you. That could be you. In one capacity or another, you have the unique ability to shine in ways that almost no one else in the world can. How do I know that? Because I know all of you are individuals in your own way, with your own unique strengths, talents, and abilities. You could be somebody else's Eliyahu HaNavi. You could be the candles that are going to stare right back at you when you're looking at them on Hanukkah. And it doesn't have to be huge. Sometimes just a smile to the person who has to work the job at the grocery that you go to. It's all it takes on a bad day. Sometimes it's just speaking after class to the professor who everyone hates and just saying, thanks for a good class. You brighten that person's day. It could be anything. Or maybe it is big. Maybe it is donating a whole lot of money to an organization or using your strengths and talents to develop who knows what type of organization or starting a business or a company or involving yourself in the world of Jewish literature, Torah, more. But you have a unique ability to be that person. Don't think you can't be. There's a famous rabbi, Rabbi Twersky, who used to say, I wrote 20 different books, all to say the same thing, that we all lack self-esteem. This is a generation that's profoundly lacking in self-esteem. And you need to realize that you can be that light. If you don't, you're going to have the fuel source and the wick, but you'll never be the light because you don't think you can be. But you can be. And you will be. As you get older, or even now. And so that's the message. And there's a phrase that we say, particularly on Hanukkah, but other times as well, where it says, Bayamim haham bazman hazeh. It's a Torah source for this idea. Bayamim haham bazman hazeh. In those days, in our time, We can tap into what we had in those days right now in our time. That's alive. That's real. The miracle of Hanukkah is present with you on Hanukkah, says the Nesiv HaShalom, a Hasidish master. You have the ability to tap into that miracle right now if you believe in it, if you're willing to do it. And as you look at those candles and you say, you know what? Day one, I'm going to try to do something for somebody else that I've never done in my life before. Day two, I'm going to believe in myself more because some guy who never met me does. Day three, four, whatever it is, I'm going to step up and do something for others because I know I can be their miracle. I can be their miracle. You matter. And life is not just about getting a good job and making a lot of money and kicking back on the beach. It's nice to have that too. Vacation houses are great. But that's not what life is all about. Life is about meaning. Life is about purpose. Life is about mattering. And when you're no longer here, are they going to say at your Levaya, at your funeral, that you went to the best burger place? That you knew every steakhouse? That you made a whole lot of money? And even that, you know, you had your name on a building? Or are they going to say the things that you did to be an illuminator? Are they going to talk about how you helped other people? How you expanded yourself to be that light? It's your choice. So I want to end just by asking another question. But I want to open it up for this to be a real conversation. How can we be miracles for other people? How can we step up to do something for another person? And I know it sounds pretty scary, like, oh, a miracle, like, that's huge. Only God could do it. No. We saw a story about a person who could be somebody else's Eliyahu Navi. No. We saw that Nesiv HaShalom says that you have the ability to tap into the miracle right now and be something for somebody else. How can we do that? Real question for the whole, how can we do that? Not an easy one, but a question. How can you step up and be a miracle for someone else? Volunteers. Volunteers, volunteers. It's a hard question. Yes?
Find out what they need.
Nice. Find out what they need. And then, is it all I have to do is know what they need? Let's say I know that they need a job.
I get them up.
Boom. That's right. It's not rocket science. It's not rocket science. You figure out the needs of it. Honestly, if you do marketing or if you have any desire to be in communications, marketing, any of these types of things, you need all of that in the world of business. Just bring all of that into the world of personal development and character development and being a better person. How can you step up to be something for somebody else, not just in a business sense, but in a moral sense, an ethical sense, in a Jewish sense, in a healthy, holy sense? Find out what they need and do your best to either connect them to the person who can do that need or be that need for them. What else? What else? What else? Yeah.
To express like our gratitude for the people that have been a light for us.
Huge, huge. You can be a light for others by thanking them for being a light to you. I love it. I love it. I think that's huge. Why? Why? How? Because think about it. When you express gratitude to somebody else, that helps them burn brighter. And it creates like a domino effect of brightness illuminating a very, very dark world. We have a war happening right now, anti-Semitism on campus. I came here and spoke a year or so ago about the war that when it first broke out, right? Anybody remembers that? It was here. We have a war going on. We have a lot happening. And it's a dark world. The world seems very, very dark. But it's not. Because we can be the light for others. It's not just that miracles happen to us or that the world is acting on us. We have the unique ability to help others and act on them. And by expressing gratitude, you have the ability to show appreciation and help them burn even brighter. Who else? Who else? 2 more minutes, Rabbi? How many more minutes? Who else? Yeah.
David, not only putting yourself in a position to do good for others, but also put them in a position where they're in the right mindset and physical space to put their good out into the world.
Love it. Well, hear what you said? Hear what you said? Don't tune out. No, it's late. That was awesome. That was awesome. Why? Because you're making the space for someone else to shine. You're getting off the pedestal and letting them come and rise to the occasion. There's an idea behind that in the Torah, by the way. When we light the menorah, when we light the candles in the tabernacle, you would light the candle just enough for it to rise on its own. That's a Torah idea. Nice. Meaning, on our level, what we're trying to do is show that other people can shine. You get off your wherever you are. Don't take the credit. Don't take the stage. Help somebody else do that. I love it. Who else? How else can we be miracles for other people? And when we look at our candles, and they're looking back at us, asking us, begging us, how about you? How about you? What else can we do? So we said three things so far for everybody else who wants to think on it. We said one was find out what their needs are and then go and do it. Two was express gratitude and then they'll shine brighter. Three was get off the stage and let them shine and give them the tools and the abilities to shine themselves. What else? How else can we shine for others? Yeah.
Use what you're good at and then help the communities.
One more time.
So use your strengths to help out the communities, basically. So let's say you are an engineer and I don't know, there's a dam near your house, near the town that you live in, and something happened and you're the only person in that community that knows how to fix it or that has the power to do something, then if you do that and you fix it, then bad things can happen. The whole town would be grateful in that deal here.
Beautiful. I love it. And that also is a Torah idea, by the way. There's an idea in Ethics of Our Fathers that says when there's nobody else, essentially, when there's nobody else, step up and be that person to help out. When there's no man, be the man. When there's no woman, be the woman. When there's no person, be that person. Yeah? Beautiful. Step up. When you know that you can do something, do it. Don't say, I can't do it. Don't say, I'm not going to do it. Have enough self-esteem, have enough motivation to go and be that light for somebody else. Beautiful. Who else? Because this is everything. You can hear in my speech, but if you just walk away being like, that's nothing to me. If you see that you actually can do something for others and shine and glow burn brightly like the menorah itself, that's everything. So I said four things so far. Who else? Who wants to step up? Yeah. Very good. So if we know our weaknesses, then we won't step up and we shouldn't be. If we have a very, very bad wick, that's going to make the whole candle go out, then we won't step up. And I would submit that if we have a bad wick, we should hopefully fix it. But we also have to, like you said, know our limitations, right? Not everybody's going to have the ability to do everything. I'm not a good artist. I haven't hit the gym in who knows how long, right? So don't have me run that race. Don't have me climb Mount Everest. But you do know your strengths and talents, right? And if you do know those, you have the capacity and the ability to shine for others or let them shine too. One more and then we'll close. Anybody, come on. Be the last one. Be the light. Yeah.
All right, so they say the oil lasted because it was pure olive oil and that the Maccabees chose to use the oil because it was pure and that's why Hashem gave us that miracle. So sort of this idea of giving your pure self to something and just giving your absolute all to anything that you do and putting in the maximum effort.
Beautiful. You hear that? Everyone hear that? It was pure olive oil. Shemen Zai Zak was the purest of the pure of the olive oil. That was what was used for the menorah. So it should be that the thing that you do should be pure and holy. It should be the best self, the best version of whatever you have to go and illuminate the whole world for everybody else. So for a big, quick close before we're just done, I don't want you to walk out of here without at least remembering that you matter. Whether you're in the system of understanding this world that is complicated of Judaism or not, you matter. You have the ability to be a light for other people. You could be that menorah. You could be somebody else's Eliyahu Navi. And we just spoke about now five ways of being able to do it. You could be somebody else's miracle. Thank you for listening.